Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to this gig call today on the 17th of May 2011. On the call we have Sarmad Hussein, Rafiq Damak, Avri Doria, Wei Zhao, Edmund Chang, and from staff, Bart Boswinkel, Dennis Jennings, and Christina Nordstrom. Apologies from Jan Zhang, Saad Bataine, and Andrew Sullivan. And may I please remind you to state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Edmund.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining. And also thank you, everyone, for staying on. Again, apologies for starting this late. Since we are late, so let's get started. I sent around a brief agenda, the first item being the follow-up on the discussion on the mailing list about the implementation of a single character ID and TLB. I was wondering if there's any update or any questions from staff on that item.
Edmund, this is Bart. I say you sent around two topics, two questions. The first one was regarding the references on the CCNSO website, etc. They both refer to the same document, so the final report is included on the JIG webpage itself. And say the other one you've noted was an announcement that the CCNSO always, or what we always do for the CCTLD community on the CCNSO homepage. Today we, in the course of today, we'll announce there will be a third or second announcement that the CCNSO Council has adopted the JIG final report and refers back to the JIG webpage. So there should be no confusion. Say the first one, the announcement you've noted is only that the JIG has published its final report. So that's one. Regarding your question, if and how it's implemented in the application guidebook, I don't know because I'm not involved in that arena. I also am not aware what the status is, whether Stefan has forwarded the final report to the ICANN board. I know there was a conversation between Leslie Cowley, so chair of the CCNSO, and GNSO, that the CCNSO has adopted it and that they will forward it to the ICANN board. And we just informally discussed that the most probable step is that the board needs to take some action based on advice from staff, and that it will, staff is aware of the final report and probably has already paid some attention to the single character IDN. That's what I had to report back on item number one and about your questions you raised last week.
Okay, thank you for the update. I guess Avery, the item. I wonder if you have any follow-up questions or thoughts on this.
Not really. I mean, I guess, and this came up in our informal conversation before, so I'll just put it on the record now. I wasn't really certain that anything necessarily needed to happen other than it was said to the board, and the staff got it. So if there are any issues to resolve in the guidebook, they can, and the board approves them, you know, when it approves the whole guidebook. And the only reason I brought up the question is because when I started looking at, well, if this has to go through another period of community review and it has to go through a board decision, how does that board get decision get made in with all of the timetables they've got going on everything else? And so that's why I asked the question. It just, you know, but so I was curious more than, you know, it just, when I started looking at schedules and decisions and how decisions get made and was actually a decision actually necessary by the board on this outside of the global applicant guidebook decision was when I asked the question. And I really don't know more now than I do then.
Okay. Okay. I guess I share that, and I was also curious. As I know from the email, I see that there's mentioning of implementation models that are being developed by staff, and we'll get more community input from. I was wondering, you know, how we could follow up on that. So I don't know. I guess I'm not sure how to follow up on that, because that's on the applicant guidebook right now. With the latest version, it has that note in it. So I guess I'm just curious. I don't know where to start the conversation. Bart or others, other staff on the call. I guess that was also one of the questions. But, you know, if there are actual implementation models that are being developed, and we're talking about a timeline that would have the new GTLDs implemented soon. I wonder, you know, how we can follow up on that.
I'll check.
So yeah, if you could help identify who is actually working on it, and we could probably provide some input.
Yeah, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess we'll move on to the second item, which was the main to be the main discussion. Yes.
May I suggest that you change 2 and 3, because, again, on the informal conversation, I think we addressed number 3 a bit in preparation, and I think one of the items that came out of it, it was a rather good idea, and maybe we start working on that one. It's just a recap, and then we spend the rest of the hour on the on number 2.
Certainly. Yes. So I may have missed the very recent emails,
It was part of the informal conversation we just had before you joined.
Ah, okay. So let's get back to that then. In terms of number 3. Does anyone want to? The item itself is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. I brought up some items that might be relevant. Of course, for our particular discussion, it's some consideration of, if any, policy aspects of the item should be, you know, at least talked about. And then, I wonder what the informal discussion was.
You want me to? Yeah, let me recap. And Avery,
please go ahead.
And others, please. Add stuff when I get it wrong. Say, our understanding was not so, say, going back to the initial discussions we had as a working group, or the JIG had. About this. This is first and foremost is not so much policy as it is a outreach effort in order to encourage the acceptance of IDN TLDs, whether they're CCs or GTLDs, as a result it's more reaching out to and encourage, software vendors, browser manufacturers, etc., to allow and the IDN TLDs when they start coming. And what we've noted is we see the same issues, or that was identified at the San Francisco meeting with regard to DNSSEC. Although the ICANN, as the multi-stakeholder model accepts and adopted DNSSEC and IDN TLDs, the other parts of the ecosystem have not yet, and it's far more an outreach effort, maybe together with the ITF and ISOC, that we should encourage others in the ecosystem to start adopting it. And one of the suggestions that came out of, or say, our informal conversation is maybe to organize a special event together with ISOC and the ITF on DNSSEC and on the acceptance of DNSSEC and IDN TLDs at one of the upcoming ITF events.
Yeah, this is Avery. I think the one step in that discussion was that when we were talking about who do we mean accepted, because what does acceptance mean? One of the things we look at is acceptance has a lot to do with, you know, the coders, the people that update browsers, the people that do mail systems. Some of it is, you know, free and open source. Some of it is company proprietary. But for IDNs, just like DNSSEC, but for and resolvers and recursive, et cetera, for IDNs to actually make it, it needs to be supported through all that. So getting the acceptance of the coders, of those people. So we're not even at the point yet where one could have a bake-off, and I know we're not allowed to call them bake-offs, but somehow how does that, and so one of the ideas was if you announce far enough in advance in an IETF context that there's going to be like an interop event the weekend before, the weekend after, or something like that, does that motivate a couple people who have had it on their back burner to say, oh, okay, this becomes worth doing it? I don't know, but that I think that was part of the reasoning step that got there is if you don't get the coders to accept IDNs, then it's not going to happen.
Thank you, Avery. Am I still on or just in suddenly feel cut? Okay. Thank you, Avery. And I guess when I put out the items, I also was thinking what this group's role should be. I guess that should be a discussion as well. We certainly this is an issue, and this is an issue of common interest between GEs and CCs. The question is what this group should do as well. This is a group that is put together and not intended to be ongoing. But this particular effort is more likely going to be ongoing. So my sort of question is whether this group should create a report that says, you know, here are the things that ICANN as a whole should do, and you know, and lead towards a more ongoing effort, or you know, this group should just continue on and you know just participate as a group and get these initiatives started along staff. That's one of the first questions that perhaps should be asked.
Edmund, this is Bart. I think the first step is what do you want to achieve with it? And the informal conversation and the conversation we just had is indeed and as a major attention point that, say, we note that within the ICANN environment, some policies have been adopted, or some new technologies have been adopted, like DNSSEC, and universal acceptance or universal interoperability is an issue, and we first note this, and maybe report this back to both councils and encourage the councils to inform the ICANN board and suggest to organize, maybe together with ISOC and ITF, such an event.
That's probably a good idea. So what we are perhaps talking about, do we need a formal document, or, you know, basically just say simple email, I guess, from Jane and I was talking about this earlier. Just an email, I guess, somewhat from chairs, co-chairs, and going into the respective councils and saying we talked about this and thought this is something bad that might be.
Edmund, from a procedural point of view, what I would suggest is that, say, based on this conversation, if we listen back, that we, do a document, say, of no more than 2 pages, and saying we note this, and send it around to the working group. If the working group agrees, then use a Singapore meeting to share this with the broader community, and if they think it's a good idea, and put it on the agenda of the CCNSO and GNSO councils at Singapore as well.
That sounds good. I don't know whether we'll make it by Singapore, but at least, you know, that's a good target, I guess. And something like a, you know, 1 page or at most 2 pages you mentioned would probably work well. I guess that, you know, probably myself and Jane will try to draft something based on what we talked about, and circulate.
Yeah.
I wonder, anyone else have any thoughts?
Edmund, Dennis here. You raised the question about policy considerations in your note, policy aspects of the topic. What have you in mind?
Thank you, Dennis. Actually, that was one of the questions I want to ask. I don't really have anything in mind, but this group is supposed to be focused more on that area, being chartered by the GNSO and CCNSO. So I think it is we should ask about that. I really don't think there needs to be any policy developed or recommended on this item. I wonder, you know, if anyone would like to bring up any possibility, like, I don't know, whether ICANN should mandate registries or registrars to set certain things. Like, there is, I guess, discussion about certain security measures, for example, that ICANN has started to sort of require registries or registrars to do. Is this something that ICANN should put forward as some sort of a policy for new registries and registrars? So I don't really have something in mind. I wonder if anyone can think of any policy aspect that should be addressed.
This is Bart. I have just opened the charter of the working group, and maybe this is, how should I phrase it? One of the differences between the CCNSO and GNSO, the CCNSO is not limited to policies. And I could imagine that, say, knowing this, this is an issue, the universal acceptance, but there are no policy aspects to it, that the chairs, the co-chairs of the working group note this and suggest another appropriate avenue to resolve it, meaning setting up, say, something like an interoperability conference.
Thank you, Bart. Dennis, you wanted to follow up?
Yes, the only policy, Dennis Jennings here, the only policy thing I could think of off the top of my head is a situation where a registry supports IDNs at the second level, as an example, and the registrars only support the ASCII labels because they refuse to go to the bother of implementing the IDN labels. Is there a policy issue there?
I don't think so. Registrars can do pretty much absolutely what they want to do in terms of what they support and what they don't.
That's actually a good point, Dennis. And I guess I understand where you come from. But perhaps, because right now there is this equal access requirement to registrars, and you know, in the future, we're talking about, of course, the vertical integration. But in terms of the equal access, I wonder if registrars, you know, do not offer IDN capabilities, or you know, does not offer them in a way that's you know, that's fully compliant or some sort, you know, a standard, then whether a registry could have slightly different policies between IDN-aware and IDN-non-aware registrars, that might be, there might be a policy issue there. I don't know. Like, you know, that registries could treat registrars differently because, you know, with IDNs and non-IDNs.
Edmund, this is Bart. Say, although I agree that may be an issue, I wonder to what extent it is an issue of common interest for CCs and and GTLDs, because that's say part of what is happening, of what this of what the JIC is about.
Yeah, and this is Avery. While there's something definitely appealing about trying to get some symmetry in the notion of must have accredited registrars and what registrars must do, trying to get in that battle would definitely be like trying to wall while hot oil was being poured down on you. I think the idea of trying to, in any sense, give registries or the registrants an expectation of certain kinds of support on IDN from registrars would be so very painful.
Edmund, Dennis here.
This sounds like too much fun for us. Dennis,
I fully agree with Avery, but it was the only thing I could think of.
So it looks as if the acceptance is the route to try and create an opportunity for the opportunity in supporting IDNs rather than any policy or regulatory approach.
Okay. So I guess, I guess that's noted, and probably we can have, you know, one sentence on that in the draft letter. But I guess overall we feel that there's there really isn't any item here, and I think that's in itself a pretty good finding. I guess it's important that we at least cover the topic, and that's why I included it.
Yeah.
I actually, this is Opry again, I actually think it would be a wonderful display of fireworks to send back something saying, we recommend that this is something that the GNSO, you know, consider, and it's an important topic, but that the JIG didn't take it up because of, as Bart says, it's not a joint issue, However, upon noticing it, we thought it would be good to refer the topic back to the GNSO for consideration.
Yep.
That could be entertaining.
That's called
we always love fun, right?
I mean, at first, I must admit, I have an aversion. You know, it's kind of like a fear factor aversion to making any recommendation to the registrars because I know they'll, you know, comment in some way that's painful. But on second reflection, you can't run away from them just because you're scared of them. So probably should be reflected back.
And maybe this is Bart again, and maybe another point is, say, we're speculating this is the case.
That, okay.
So referring it back, it might be necessary to analyze, first of all, to do some fact-finding and analyze this is truly the case.
Yeah, that's true. But they may all be supporting them
right
now, fully and actively, and we just don't know it.
Yep.
Okay. Did I hear, I think somebody wanted to speak up just earlier. Wasn't sure it was Dennis or other. Oh. Okay. So I guess we have a reasonable path forward on this item. We'll draft and we'll circulate and we'll see where it takes us. So the final item would be walking the IETF DNSX requirements document that's on the aliasing discussion. Avery, I wonder if you could help take us. I observe that we are running out of time, but I guess for the remainder of time, Avery, please walk us through. If we run out of time, we can take it to the list and our next call.
Well, I actually don't know. Certainly in 7 minutes, walking through it, and certainly I still think that walking through it when we've got more people here and including Suzanne. But I did want to, it's probably worth just mentioning a couple of things that sort of stand out to me, and I read it again back this morning. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning for a Geneva meeting, so I got to read this again at 5 o'clock this morning. There's a couple of things that stand out to me in it, because you had basically come to me and said, can I write, perhaps some questions and such that come up, and, as opposed to the walkthrough, which in now 6 minutes would be silly. One of the things that's clear in it is that as things stand, it doesn't look like there's a technical solution. As things stand, there's a sort of declaration that there are administrative mechanisms and that the registries have great tools for being able to handle this at an administrative level. But when I start to think about that, A, I guess I don't know enough about registry's tools for doing this administratively. I still don't understand how they do it administratively beyond the second level, beyond the third level, and so on. So that's certainly something that probably needs to be understood, because my gut feeling is telling me that there's really only a limited administrative capability to make two DNS trees equivalent in some sense. There's a third issue, which is a definitional, philosophical one, has always been there between the IETF and ICANN. It's one that I had when I first came into ICANN, where I would say, the fact that a DNS name is a human recognizable word is just a happy coincidence, because DNS is just a string of characters. And the notion that you have a name that means something and therefore you have to have an equivalent is not a concept that is even makes that much sense an idea. Now, they're willing to accept that there is some notion of sameness that people want to have, but there isn't that same kind of, that same level of acceptance between the two groups. You look at their document, and this is one for Dennis, you look at their use case section 3, and it's still really quite shallow. It's still missing pieces. And I know they say they're not going to wait, but I think that there's strong cause either in an ICANN recommendation or an individual, when this gets to last call, sort of say, you know, the use case part of this is just not deep enough, and, you know, we really recommend that you do have to wait. So that's something that we all have to consider and talk about. They get into the whole notion, and I guess, again, this is what Dennis is working on, this whole policy aspect of what is the same and what isn't. It comes up time and again, though, the problem of getting sameness at various levels. And if you're going to give people that assumption, how do you really guarantee it? And does it really mean that if you, whether it's called bundling or something else, to PLB at the lowest level, at the top level rather, that you can expect that the fourth level will still be same? And is that the expectation? Is that necessary? And would it ever be possible? And even when you look at some of the solutions they put up, like, you know, shadow zoning, I don't quite understand how shadow zoning works at the fifth level. You know, are we creating shadows at every zone file as we move on? So those are some of the questions, not well formed, but that on rereading it, and my first reading it was sort of like, as an IETF type reading it, say, yeah, this makes sense. But once you start reading it in terms of the policy part, And expectations, I think there may be a lot of discussion to be had with Zen and Andrew and this group when it's fully fleshed. So, there's a lot that can be walked through. Section 2, you know, where they're posing the problem statement, is probably worth walking through in detail with Suzanne and looking at the various statements that she makes about what the problems are and aren't. As I say, 3 needs a bunch more, I think it's the 3.1 section. I think really getting it ingrained in our policy head and finding out whether it's true, that my feeling on reading it, and the deeper and deeper I get into it, is that we have a problem here that we don't have a solution for, and I don't think we're going to have a solution for. So what implication does that have on policy going forward? Certainly the policy going forward that says you can bundle names but only use one of them and the rest of them are there but not used, that solution works, and it prevents the confusability. But to say that you're going to have 2 trees that shadow each other and are identical for anyone typing in any fully qualified, you know, domain name is a stretch. So anyhow, that's what I got from my morning reading.
Okay. Thank you. I read. It seems like a reading that's good for when you can't get back to sleep.
Well, I decided not to.
No. Now, I, from what you just mentioned, seems to me there are three points. One is the operational readiness or capacity of registries and potentially registrars as well, but more so registries. The second item you mentioned is the examples in the document that seems to relate very much to the case studies. So perhaps I don't know whether Dennis wants to add to it. And then the third item is, I guess, overall, whether, you know, we want to get technical. So do we want to talk about a sort of a position after reading this, what I can do? You finally mentioned that, you know, use one and reserve all others. I think that's certainly a possibility technically, but I guess coming from the Chinese community, that would definitely not be workable or desirable from the standpoint of a simplified traditional Chinese situation.
No, I totally understand that. I'm just saying I don't see how. But and perhaps one of the good things would be if someone that really, you know, for what I understand, Scenic and others have said they can do it. Maybe you guys have decided in .Asia that you can do it. Perhaps explaining to people how operationally this is possible, because every time I hear it, I hear there's registry magic that makes it so. And I don't know if, certainly I don't understand what registry magic makes it so.
We're running out of time, but that there's really no magic, because right now everyone is delegating the same the names to the same registrant, and you know, there are certainly certain special resolvers set up for making sure that they would resolve the same, but there's no magic in terms of the DNS, in terms of delegation. Not DNS, the NS delegations. That's essentially what all registries are doing for variants right now. But I guess you brought up the three items. Sorry, we're running out of time because I was late. But in the first item, the operation capacity, probably this group can try to initiate some sort of a survey, whether, you know, informal or formal survey across registries, and perhaps that would be valuable information. And the second item, Dennis, I don't know whether you want to briefly talk about it, you know, whether there are quite, you know, a number of examples that is in the document. I wonder, that seems to be tied very closely to the studies, whether we should tell them to wait for your studies, because, you know, it's so much, there does seem to be some overlap there, especially on the examples.
Certainly, Evan. It's Dennis here again. First of all, I think I agree with much of what Avery said about reading the document.
I can't hear.
Can you hear me? Hello?
You're very faint, Dennis.
Oh, my phone's causing problems. Can you hear me now?
Sort of better than before, yeah.
I think my electronic phone is causing problems. Can you hear me now?
Yep, no, that's much better.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to throw this phone out. I think as you're reading the document, Avery, you've got it right. There are a number of messages there. One is that right now there is no technical solution. Two, that and related to that, before the IETF will do any more work, they need to have a better statement of the problem. And this is where the overlap with the IBM Variant Issues Project is, where we certainly hope to come up with a better set of use cases and a better statement of the problem. In terms of telling the IETF to wait, you know, the IETF is a bunch of voluntary people who you know, don't report to anybody and do work if they feel like it. I've attempted to say, guys, you really should wait till the end of our variant issues project, and got pretty. Clear pushback that says that's not the way the IETF works. So there is a bit of a disconnect there. So the only thing that we can do in the project is to better articulate the requirements, better articulate the case studies, and to be specific, Avery, is there a requirement that the same or equivalent works at the second, third, fourth, and subsequent level, or is that not a requirement? So there more work needs to be done, and certainly the case studies hopefully the project will develop a fuller understanding of what the need is, but also what compromises may be acceptable to the community in looking at the IDN issue. So that's really all I have to say at this time.
I know we're past time. I just want to make one quick comment on the IETF telling you to go away and leave us alone because we're the IETF and we know what we're doing. That is always their first approach. ICANN does have a liaison relationship with them, and if on a policy level ICANN wants to say, hey, dudes, we think you should wait, you know, then using that liaison mechanism. And then, is of course, yes, they're just a bunch of individuals, and so are we. And we can, within that process, within working group last call, and within IETF last call, certainly raise these issues. Now, that doesn't mean that the IESG will, in the end, agree to hold it, but I sure think there's more than just you talking to Andrew and him saying, no. You know, we had three guys in the group, and if you go back through the minutes, it was really three guys in the group said, nah, we don't want to wait, that's the end of the story. I, as an IETF person for 20 years, I don't think that that is the end of the story unless we decide that it is the end of the story.
But Dennis here again. I think it's not unreasonable for the IETF to say, give us a better statement of the problem you're asking us to solve. Before we continue work, because what Suzanne's document is saying is, if the problem statement is as she understands it, there is no technical solution at this time. There's work that could be done in exploring solutions, but there is no solution at this time in the DNS.
Right. Okay. So I think I agree with you, Dennis, and if there's no solution, then they can go about thinking about one technically, and that's part of the item as well. So we're running out of time. I wonder, Avery, if you could perhaps send out summarizing some of the things, and I'll definitely add to it to the mailing list, and we'll continue the discussion there, and in 2 weeks' time in our next call.
I'll lob a grenade over the
phone. All right. Sounds fun. So I guess that brings us to the end of the call. I'm sorry we're quite a number of minutes late ending, but any particular item anyone want to bring up before I close the call? If not, thank you everyone for joining, and we'll further discuss at the mailing list and talk again in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, Egan. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.